and the beat goes on. Yeah, drop your bombs between the minarets down the Casbah way. Take two.
Hajj L.A. Episode 10. Coming off the bye week for myself. Great week in the NFL. College football. Great week once again. Being the sick fuck that I am, had to go to a game anyways on Friday night. The conquerors of Los Altos versus the Brahmas of Diamond Bar. Two teams we are fighting tooth and nail with for league championship. Diamond Bar, of course, has Snoop D-O-double-G's son, Cordell Brodus. That's a star who, for them. Receiver who just got offered a Notre Dame, too. He's got offers from everyone. Los Altos. Classless move, I thought. Went up 17-0 and started blaring Snoop Dogg songs over the PA. Did nothing but wake up the Brahmas. Brahmas put up 14 unanswered. Los Altos ended up winning the game. So every team in league except ourselves has one loss. So we are sitting pretty going into Diamond Bar next week. Can't wait for it. Should be a good one. Meanwhile, I'm filling my time with my flag football unit in PE, which I feel like Johnny Manziel dominating when I decide to play. I tell you, there is not a 15-year-old Asian girl alive who can pull my flag when I get in space. Matter of fact, if there are any 15-year-old Asian girls listening right now who think they can tackle me 101 in space, I will offer you $100 if you can do so. Because you can't. It's great. I feel like I'm 15 again. Just dominating because there's no real athletes in my class. Just do what I want when I go back there. I break contain, it's over. So filling my time with that. News from around the high school, around the world, around the country, rather. Kid in Alabama, 15-year-old kid in Alabama named Christian Adamek, Spackman High in Alabama. 15-year-old decided it'd be fun to streak in the homecoming game, which, you know, back in the 70s and 60s, that was something that was very common. Haha. Apparently, they decided they were going to charge this kid as a sex offender, and they were going to throw him out of school. Kid turned around and hung himself, killed himself, which is pretty amazing. You think a kid with the balls to go out and show his junk in front of 2,000 people in homecoming, you think he'd be a little bit more self-assured that you figured, you know, you could get through this. It's only high school. He'll find another high school to graduate from. Poor bastard hung himself. Charge him as a sex offender for streaking? My, how times have changed. Another great one. Out in Louisiana, two referees were thrown out of a game and arrested. Apparently, the referees started getting into it with some cops. I guess some guys on the sideline were getting into it with the chain crew. Cops stepped in. The referees started yelling at the cops that they had to take care of the situation. Apparently, one of them dropped a few magic words. Cops arrested the two referees right there on the field. Took them off in handcuffs. Game was delayed for 15 minutes. That's hilarious. Imagine being in the game and seeing two cops, two referees getting pulled off by cops. Evidently, the offense was public intimidation. Pulled him off and arrested him right in the spot. That's hilarious. Other news in high school football around the world, around the country. Well, other than that, nothing. Other than the fact that another kid died this week. I don't even want to get into it. I'll touch upon that in about 5 minutes when I get into the League of Denial. College football, another great week. Got a chance to watch Johnny Manziel light it up again. What a great game. Classic. Texas A&M 41, Ole Miss 38. Held my breath there for a minute. Johnny looked like he went down with a serious injury, but he came right back. 4th and 7 at the end of the game, he took off. He's amazing. He's a genius on the field. The guy sees angles and just takes off and makes everything look so easy. 31 of 39, 346 yards passing. 124 yards on the ground, two TDs. Man, I hope they're there at the end of the year. I would love to see a Texas A&M-Oregon matchup. Although I don't think A&M's defense is worth squat. Because I do think Bama's going to fall off. other news around the NCAA. Touched upon this last week. New Mexico State was offering $2,000 to a fan if they called, for anyone from the student body that they call out, and if they were at the game going in the fourth quarter, they were going to give them $2,000. Well, apparently New Mexico State can't buy a break. They called a kid from a stand, wasn't there, wasn't at the game. Matthew Sujak, or Sajak rather, war veteran, double amputee who's taking care of his sick and dying grandmother, wasn't at the game. New Mexico, their rivals, stepped up, got a fundraiser going, and paid the kid $2,000 while New Mexico State, the Aggies, sat on their thumbs. Made him look foolish. Good for New Mexico. Poor bastard. Double amputee taking care of his grandmother. You'd think that New Mexico State would have stepped up and done something. Took New Mexico to do it. New Mexico ended up blowing out New Mexico State. Steve Sarkisian running his mouth at Stanford saying they're faking injuries. This has become out of control. Everybody's saying everybody's faking injuries now. The shame of it. Stanford coach, who I like, David Shaw, came firing back at him. Saying the only person I've ever known of the fake injuries was actually on Washington staff. A guy that had been caught faking injuries a few years back at another school. Speaking of Stanford losing. Number 5, Stanford losing in a shocker to Utah. Utah's a solid squad. 27-21, Utah. I like Shaw, though. I tell you what, I think David Shaw's going to be a really good coach in the NFL, and I think he'll be in the NFL in the next year or two. But Stanford dropping out of the top 5, a shakeup. How about Mizzou putting it on Georgia, 41-26. Georgia, no excuses. Georgia missing a lot of guys. But James Franklin, quarterback of Missouri, who's been fighting injuries the last couple years, and again, separated his shoulder at the end of the game. Mixed reports. Some say he might be done for the rest of the year. Missouri hits him on a double pass late in the game. Kind of seal the game. You know, I'm a huge fan of the double pass. I think teams should try to throw a double pass or some type of halfback option every team at least once a game. And it's extremely difficult to defend. Puts DBs on their heels. And it's really not that much of a risky play, especially if you offer something underneath, which a lot of teams don't do. But Missouri hits on it. 41, Georgia, 26. That puts Missouri in the top 25. Matter of fact, I think they're at 14 right now. Georgia, national championship aspirations out the window. Oregon, 45, Washington, 24. Marcus Mariota at this point seems to be running away with the Heisman. He's got 17 TDs in the air, 8 rushing touchdowns, no picks. That's a guy who he could easily win the Heisman and easily be the number one pick, although I think Teddy Bridgewater will be the number one pick overall. Can't miss. I've been talking about this for about 3 weeks now. This draft is filled with quarterbacks. The NFL is going through an evolutionary period. They're all going to be Colin Kaepernick types, guys who can run, guys who can get out and make plays happen with their feet. Okay, gone are the days, I think, of the... Well, I shouldn't say gone. There will always be the place for the drop-back passer. But you just cannot account for a quarterback that can run. Watch it with Terrell Pryor today, although the Raiders only put up 7. Talk about that in a minute. But still, Pryor can do things. Those guys can do things. The evolution of quarterbacks is upon us. Anything else? Oh, whiteout. Penn State beating Michigan. Always good to beat Michigan. Of course, Michigan was a house of cards. Anybody who watched them all year knew they were vulnerable. Christian Hackenberg, the true freshman out of Penn State. Legit. Now, there's a pocket quarterback who will be something in the NFL. Allen Robinson as well. Great wide receiver for Penn State. Penn State has not fallen off at all. Matter of fact, I think in the next couple of years, they'll be right in the national championship hunt. 107,000 people at Penn State for a whiteout. So I don't understand what the NCAA tried to accomplish with all these sanctions against them. Nothing. Football's way too big in Pennsylvania. They're not going to be able to squash that. They're going to change the culture. Yeah, change the culture. 4 OTs. Michigan blowing it. Had plenty of chances. Blew it. Wisconsin 35, Northwestern 6, Northwestern out of it. South Kakalaka, South Carolina 52, Arkansas 7. I talked about this a few weeks back about Bert Bielema, whatever his name is, Coach Arkansas's wife, tweeting out karma after Wisconsin lost. Since she's tweeted that out, Arkansas 0-4 and out of it. Red River Shootout, Mac Davis playing for his life, coaching for his life. Texas comes up big over Oklahoma, 36-20. I don't even think it was that close. Why can't Oklahoma go out and get a legitimate quarterback, an athlete, one of these guys that, like I've been talking about, can go out and make things happen with their feet? Oklahoma just seems to be a huge disappointment. But Texas, hey, Matt Brown seems like a decent guy. What the hell? Good for him. At least hanging on there, who's hanging on for dear life, can exit at the end of the year. And I bet you whoever takes over Texas, Texas will come back next year. Lane Kiffin on NCAA game day on ESPN. Classic Kiffin. Blaming the sanctions, which, you know, is a factor, but USC still has a ton of talent. And if you watch that SC game the other night, just the difference in sideline. Ed Orgeron is back to, you know, having the good old Pete Carroll time, having fun. What's wrong with having fun? I wouldn't be surprised if they turn around and hire Ed Orgeron. Keep him, especially if they turn it around and win out the rest of the year, knock somebody off that they're not supposed to. Lane Kiffin, read this fact, only 49% of African-American kids that he coached at USC actually graduated. He was doing things like taking cookies out of training table. That really went over well. Isolated media. First thing that Ed Orgeron did when he took over the program, brought cookies back to the training table and opened it up to the media. Simple things like that. I think Ed O's going to get the job. Probably should. Lane Kiffin, just a snake oil salesman. If you haven't had a chance, take a look on YouTube. The Lane Kiffin, Al Davis, the great Al Davis. I'm reading an Al Davis book right now. In the last couple of years, I've become a huge Al Davis fan. He's so Machiavellian. Just a shyster. But the guy got his way. But he had that press conference where he looked like a zombie still, right towards the end of his, well, I don't know, he only died last year, I think. But, you know, towards the end of his days, he had about an hour-long press conference talking about firing Lane. Great line. He's talking, he says, "So Lane said to me, am I getting fired without being paid?" And Al said, "That's what I'm telling you, kid." And got him out and just read the thing. Poor Al. Never could get it together. Never could get the coach he wanted, the quarterback he wanted. And I think they found one with Terrell Pryor, his last draft pick. Terrell Pryor. And this coach, name escapes me right now. I forget his name. But, you know, I think they're doing the right things. They played well against the Chiefs today. It's just they can't block anybody. Darren McFadden can never really hold together, but that's a whole different story. I'll get into that. Enough of college football. Although next week we got a good one. Great ACC matchup. Florida State, number 5 versus Clemson, number 3. Taj Boyd versus Jameis Winston. Got to watch that one. 3 versus 5. About time. Now we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of college football season. Enough with this bullshit pay-to-play games. We're getting into the real games. We're going to sort it out real soon this week. NFL. Interesting week around the NFL, as always. I don't know if you got a chance to watch on the PBS Frontline documentary. We made huge headlines this week. Program called League of Denial, which is about concussions and how the NFL has dealt with concussions over the years. It starts out talking about the Mike Webster case, which is really the first case that opened up people's eyes about concussions and correlating head trauma with NFL. Weird story. After Mike Webster died, and Mike Webster was gonzo at the end, obviously. He started accumulating an arsenal of weapons. Said he was going to take out officials, referees, former referees, because he blamed referees, former referees, for what was happening to him. He super glued his teeth into his head. Super glued his teeth into his head. He would wrap his feet in duct tape because it was so ripped up. At one point, he asked one of his buddies to use a taser on him because the guy couldn't sleep. So he asked his best friend to tase him so he could finally get some sleep. Poor Mike Webster. So Mike Webster, at some point, tried to sue the NFL, and he did. And the NFL actually admitted for the first time. They fought it at first, but then they admitted with a disability claim to Mike Webster that constant hits to the head in football would cause brain damage. They admitted it. But then they dragged their feet on it, and doctors got involved, said it wasn't, there was no, you know, discernible correlation. So this Nigerian doctor ends up examining Mike Webster's brain out of the blue. Guy never even knew who Mike Webster was, never watched football in his life, this Nigerian doctor. And he looked at the brain, and the brain from the outside looked good, but then he found what's called CTE. Chronic traumatic encephalitis, I believe so. CTE. Essentially what it is this protein gets built up in the brain, which has been caused from concussions. If you've been concussed multiple times or even one time, that's a scary thing about it. This protein builds up and causes dementia. So this guy sees it. And the NFL immediately says, oh, no, there's no correlation here. They tried to discredit this guy, which is actually pretty easy. This Nigerian doctor couldn't, you know, didn't know anything about football, obviously, which, you know, shouldn't matter. But apparently the guy claims he can talk to the dead, which, you know, is kind of a red flag. But the NFL fought it. And they fought it for years. And this Elliot Pelman, who was Paul Tagliabue, who was the commissioner at the time, his right-hand man, doctor for the Jets, was actually a rheumatologist with a degree from Mexico and went down to Mexico and got a degree. I don't know, take that for what it's worth. But he downplayed all this stuff, and he said there was no cumulative effects. In 2003, he said there was no cumulative effects and no later life problems, that the research did not show that. NFL went out and published 16 papers on this, saying that there was no clear-cut evidence between concussions and dementia. They went out and they attacked all this stuff. Apparently, this Amalu guy, this doctor, didn't have any proof of this, but he talked to a doctor from the NFL, and the doctor said, do you really know what you're doing? And this doctor evidently said to this Amalu guy, if 10% of the mothers in the United States view football as dangerous, football will be over. I think 10% is a little low. There will always be people who are going to play football. Regardless, moving on to 2007, this Ann McKee lady, doctor, and Chris Nowinski, who was a professional wrestler by the name of Chris Harvard, who has had several concussions himself, they started looking into this more and more, and they started getting brains. This Nowinski guy started getting brains from ex-NFL guys. 19 of the 20 brains that this Dr. McKee, Ann McKee, looked at had signs of this CTE. Since then, she's examined 46 brains, and 45 of these ex-NFL players have CTE. Now, you know how these doctors, you know, correlation does not prove causation, whatever the hell it says. They need more proof. I get it. But damn, that evidence seems to be overwhelming at this point. But my question for the whole program is this. Look, I'm not a scientist, but there does seem to be some kind of correlation here between NFL taking hits and this CTE. But where the hell is an NFL Players Association in all this? How do they just let this go? How do they not see something going on here, be able to connect some dots, and push the NFL to actually do something about it? I mean, shit, the NFL started this concussion committee in 1994. Well, here we are in 2013, and things are starting now. They're starting to really study it. It's amazing that the Players Association let this go on. I digress. I don't know. What's the answer? I don't think there is an answer, to be honest with you. And I don't think the game will ever go away. I do think, from what I want to put closure to this myself, because I've seen enough of it, I've talked enough about it. I do think the answer is, one of the things, I personally don't think kids should play football until they're in high school. Forget it. Put flags on them. It's not worth it. Put flags on them. And you know, there's always people who say, oh, you got to teach the kids the fundamentals and teach them how to tackle. Bullshit. I've seen Pop Warner coaches and how they'll just line kids up 10 yards from each other and have them run at each other full speed and just hit each other in the head. Forget it. Put flags on them. Don't let them start until it's in high school and go from there. I think that's one thing. And as a coach, I feel like a hypocrite saying this. They got to limit hitting in practice. Maybe one day a week. Maybe 30 minutes a week. I don't know. But they need to come up with a consensus and need to come up with it soon. Because otherwise, I mean, that's, you know, some of the unintended consequences of this whole thing. Everybody who ever played football in their life now, if they go through some kind of problem or depression or drug use, they might think, oh, I have CTE. I had concussions in high school. I had concussions in high school and college myself. Couple, I think. Maybe that's why I come in here every freaking Sunday and just ramble on. I have CTE. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, now everybody thinks I have CTE. To be honest with you, I'm shocked that Aaron Hernandez hasn't claimed it as a defense. Maybe he will when he gets found guilty. If he gets found guilty, I still think, I don't want to talk about Aaron Hernandez, but I think he's got a chance of getting let off. There's too many holes in the story already. As shame as that is, because the guy's obviously guilty of sin. Unbelievable. Enough about that. Other big piece of news in the NFL this week. Adrian Peterson's story. Terrible. Now this will be a polarizing thing. You know, looking at the risk of sounding insensitive, we've probably all heard Adrian Peterson's two-year-old son was beaten to death. Two-year-old kid beaten to death by his baby mama's boyfriend, Joseph Patterson, who had served 2 years in jail from previous domestic abuse cases and had been accused of abusing a three-year-old. Evidently, Peterson just found out he was the father of the kid, which is awful. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, there's already been a New York Post article, a guy calling out Peterson for being a bad person. And his backlash in the Twitter sphere about that. Passive-aggressive racism. But these athletes, I can say this because it's probably about 15 people listening. But these athletes, they can't just go around planting the seed in people. And granted, the guy just found out that he was the kid's father. But shit, you would think if he found out he was the kid's father, he has the resources. You'd think he would find out if the kid was at least safe. And obviously the kid wasn't. Obviously this lady that he impregnated was crazy. Otherwise, A, why would she get involved with a guy that has been in jail twice for two different domestic abuse cases and was accused of beating a three-year-old? She left him alone with this kid. You think Peterson would have found out, okay, fine, I am the father. You think he immediately would have found out, is this kid all right? Is this kid safe? But he didn't do it. Terrible. And ends up, first time he ends up ever seeing the kid who's on life support. The kid died. Of course, Adrian Peterson's had a rough life. His brother died of a drunk driver when Peterson was 8. Peterson's father spent 10 years in jail for laundering drug money. Another brother was murdered the night before the NFL Combine. Peterson decided to go out and play today. I guess, you know, hey, who am I to judge? Although I don't like the fact he comes out and says that God would find a way to make this right. God will find a way to show some good out of this. I don't know. I don't know if him playing and not playing is the way that God would go about trying to show some good for it. Of course, Peterson comes out and said, heaven had had the baddest welcoming party for my son. I don't know. And Peterson goes out and puts together a 10 rushes, 62-yard performance. Minnesota's a mess. That whole situation's a mess. It's too bad. Although I'm not going to lie to you, I've lost respect for Adrian Peterson, and you are no longer welcome on Hard Yards LA. Because I had him lined up for the offseason. He was going to come in. What else we got before we get into the games of the week? The new Pro Bowl unis. Phil Knight and the Nike crew pretty much puts Oregon and Oregon State's unis as the Pro Bowl unis. I'd be pissed if I was a college coach. Talk about a competitive disadvantage. Now these kids are watching the Pro Bowl, if anybody watches the Pro Bowl anymore, and sees that Oregon and Oregon State. What a tremendous recruiting tool. Phil Knight pushing the Oregon agenda. The NFL lets it happen. I saw a great sign in College Game Day this week said, Phil Knight wears jorts. Jean shorts for all those uninitiated. I'd be pissed. Couple other quick notes from around the league. John Sandusky, son of Jerry Sandusky, busted for DUI in North Dakota. Gotta feel bad for John Sandusky. What the hell? Imagine going into a college and being like, yeah, my old man's Jerry Sandusky. People gonna look at you a little cross-eyed, huh? Poor bastard's probably out in the woods of North Dakota drinking by a fire outside. But he's hired by the Cleveland Browns. He's the director of pro personnel for the Cleveland Browns. Busted for DUI. Ricky Williams, running back coach for the, was it, University of the Immaculate Word or something like that? They asked him, was marijuana your Achilles heel? He said, quite the contrary. Weed was actually more like spinach for Popeye. Claims he used to smoke weed all the time before games. Good for Ricky. Run, Ricky, run. I'm glad someone's out there speaking the truth. Hard Knocks coming out and saying, you must accept Hard Knocks if we tell you, the show on HBO. If you haven't been in the playoffs in the last 3 years, or you haven't done Hard Knocks before, the NFL is demanding that you will do it. Ergadal, we'll have cameras everywhere. I enjoy Hard Knocks. I don't know why a team wouldn't do it. Is it really that much of a distraction? Is it really going to change the way things happen? Here's a hilarious one. Johnny Carson. His second wife left him. Johnny Carson divorced his second wife after he found out she was screwing Frank Gifford. Frank Gifford of the New York Giants at the time. Classic Carson. He says, well, what has that guy got that I don't got? Well, he does play three positions. I can't get her to play two. Hey, no. Johnny getting screwed over by Frank Gifford. Prime time. Deion Sanders has a primetime academy, a school that he started, ended up beating up the principal of the school and got fired from the own school that he started. Deion is no longer welcome on the campus that he started. Good for him. He said this person worked for the devil and God will turn it around. Oh, boy. Let's get into the games. Time flies. Let's get into the games this week. Patriots. Tommy Brady. Looking when things were bleak. Half the stadium had left. They always talk about the greatness of Patriots fans. I'm one of them, too, but we are so fair weather. Half the stadium left. I don't think that would have happened in Kansas City. I don't think that happened in Seattle. New Orleans. Couldn't put the game away. Brady comes back down with no timeouts left. Minute 20 seconds left. Leads them to a touchdown, a game they should have put away earlier. Go for the Pats, 5-1, even though they don't got any players. And your boy Bill Simmons tweeting out, oh, Tom Brady hasn't thrown a good deep ball in 4 years. Fuck you, Simmons. He's throwing a 5'9 white boys running down the seam. Yeah, he overthrows him because it's hard not to. He had weapons, he'd hit him in stride. But screw that. Pats 5-1, knocking off the previously undefeated New Orleans Saints. Keep Tlaib going out of the game hurt, though. That doesn't help. And Danny Amendola, he tried to take away the helmet-to-helmet hits. Amendola got blasted today in helmet-to-helmet hit. Helmet-to-helmet-to-helmet-to-helmet hit. Out. Looked like he was on Queer Street, walking off the sideline. Done. Another game I got to watch. Kansas City, 24, still undefeated. Oakland, 7. Valiant effort by Terrell Pryor. An athlete, fun to watch. But the Kansas City defense is just way too much. You know, they had six straight. Oakland had six straight road wins versus the Chiefs. So they were due to lose. Abdullah, Hussein Abdullah from Pomona. The big pick six to ice the game. Too bad. Oakland. I want to see Oakland still. I'd be becoming an Oakland fan. I don't know why. I think it's for my admiration of Al Davis and the silver and black. But I'd like to see him win. Although they don't. They'll be all right. I think they'll win six games. They can't blow their draft status. But do they go forward and draft a quarterback? I don't know at this point. Philly 31 and the disaster, the shitstorm that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their staph infections and their MRSA everywhere. Philly looked okay. They looked good with Nick Foles running the show. Funny how Riley Cooper decides he wants to catch some balls now that he's got a white boy throwing to him. He had a huge game. Now he feels like catching it. Didn't want to catch it when Mike Vick was throwing it. Full-out quarterback controversy in Philly because I don't think Mike Vick's going to win his job back over Foles. Philly with the big win. Another toilet bowl. Pittsburgh 19, Jets 6. The great Todd Haley getting his team to score 19 points. Of course, coming off the disciplinarian of Mike Tomlin. No ping pong and no shuffleboard was allowed this week. Cracking down on the Steelers. Produces wins. And Todd Haley, who's been a favorite on this program before, is getting sued this week. Evidently, a house he was renting to own, they stripped it clean. Guess he bailed out on some payments, said he was going to buy the house, bailed out on it, and stole the appliances. What a freaking rube. Also looking at Todd Haley, a couple years ago, I didn't see this. His wife, the Haley family had a lawsuit against McDonald's for finding a rat in their McDonald's McSalad or whatever the hell it was. Find a rat in the salad? This is evidently they were suing. I don't know how it resolved. They sued McDonald's for $1.7 million. Come on, man. $1.7 million for finding a rat in your salad. Damn, that's a lot of salad. That's a lot of lettuce. That's a lot of coin. Finding a rat? Really, you're that stressed? You have nightmares? Freaking running McDonald's, running around with a rat, turns into a rat? You know, ruin your life that you found this? My brother found a fruit fly in a Dole. You know, like a popsicle, Dole popsicle, found a fruit fly in it. All he got was free coupons for another box of Doles. Should have sued him for millions of dollars. We were distressed. Both of us. We had nightmares. Fruit flies in our popsicles. Should have sued. I wish we were more litigious growing up. Other games around. What do we got? Carolina blowing out the aforementioned Minnesota Vikings. Carolina 35, Minnesota 10. Whew. Brings me to the twit bag. One of my twit bag questions this week pertaining to the Minnesota Vikings. At Girl Wonder X. So we signed Josh Freeman. Are still starting Matt Castle and still carrying Christian Ponder. Are any of my Vikings throw the shit at the wall personnel moves going to come together anytime soon? No. They need to A, strip the team from Ziggy Wolf. Because as I talked about last week, Ziggy Wolf taking money from people on a scam, an apartment building scam. The guy's no good. B, get rid of Leslie Frazier, who I talked about before, not getting that challenge call, right? Him and his 22 assistants missing an obvious basic rule. And see, they got Josh Freeman's going to lead him to anywhere. They signed him for $2 million for the rest of the year. Josh Freeman is going to help. Christian Ponder, Matt Castle. Nope. Need to get in the Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater race. They're already, what, 1-5? Sorry, girl, 1-X. To throw the shit at the wall, hoping some of his sticks, not going to work. Got to go out and get a quarterback. Josh Freeman's not it. Who knows? Still got Adrian Peterson, who, despite of me losing respect to him, no longer welcome him on the program, is still a premier back. Probably will be for another 2-3 years, I would think. But no, Minnesota's in deep shit. Speaking of deep shit, Green Bay is also in deep shit. Lost Randall Cobb to what appears to be a serious injury, and James Jones as well. Bailey hung on and beat Green Bay 19-17. And Baltimore had a couple opportunities to kick field goals and chose not to. You're starting to see all this pressure of all these quote-unquote stat guys talking about going for it and fourth down all the time, which I agree with at times, but you got to take points when you see them. You got to kick field goals. I don't give a shit about all this percentages of gaining points, going for it and fourth down. You got to get points when you can, man. The game's about scoring. Especially in a night, especially in a game where your defense is actually playing well. You got to put points on the board. Like last Monday night, Jets-Falcons. Falcons going for it on 4th-and-2 at the half when they could have kicked the field goal and tied it up at the half. Decided not to. I don't care about the Bill Bonwells of the world, the Nate Silvers, all these football stat keyboard jockeys, jock sniffers, talking about the percentages and all that bullshit. You got to get the points when you can. Now, there are times where you need to go 4th-and-4, no doubt about it. But you have to tie the game up going in the half. Have to. What do I know? My career record as a head coach is like 7-25 or something like that. Of course, it was the worst team in the state of California before I took over. I digress. Let's get through the rest of the games. Detroit 31, Cleveland 17, meaningless football game. Detroit, nothing. They can't get any, you know, they'll be, I thought they're going to be better than they were. Matt Stafford seems to be average. Cleveland, just hanging in there. Cincinnati 27, Buffalo 24. Thad Lewis era has begun in Buffalo. Let me take a sip of my beer. Buffalo, look, you know, they're feeling their way through. Which segs me back into the twit bag. At Buffalo Johnny, what are your thoughts on EJ Manuel based on the brief glimpse we got? And I side note, says trying to find some hope for next year. I think EJ Manuel is solid. I think EJ Manuel will be a good quarterback. Do I see him hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy? I don't know. I don't think so. But tell you what, defensively, I think Buffalo is all right. Kiko Alonso had something like 22 tackles today, which is the highest, one of the highest tackle totals since they started keeping track of that shit in 99. I think Urlacher leads it in with like 25 he had in one game. Kiko Alonso was a real deal. Mario Williams, good player. I mean, they got some players defensively. They're good up front. You know, Fred Jackson, solid. C.J. Spiller, solid. Robert Woods. I mean, they got pieces. I think E.J. Manuel is all right. And he could do worse than being a Buffalo, you know, Buffalo fan. Better than being a Minnesota fan at this point. Do I see E.J. Manuel being a Super Bowl winning quarterback? No. But again, what the hell do I know? I picked Atlanta to go to the freaking Super Bowl this year, and they're not even going to make the playoffs. So to answer your question, I think EJ Manuel is all right. Maybe the Thad Lewis era has begun. Who knows? Finishing up, St. Louis blowing out Houston 38-6. Another classless move by the Houston fans who just appear to show themselves as classless individuals. Other than the fact that there were reports this week that there were people showing up at Matt Schaub's house trying to get words with them. When Matt Schaub got hurt today, the crowd had a standing ovation when he got hurt. And the football gods watching down sent TJ Yates in and had him come in and promptly throw a pick six the other way. For the fifth game in a row they've had a pick six in Houston. Brian Cushing calling out the fans saying it's barbaric. of course, the cameras caught Brian Cushion and J.J. Watt yucking it up on the sideline when they're losing 38-6. I thought it was curious. Of course, that stuff happens. They are playing a game, and sometimes you lose track of it. And, hey, boys will be boys. But Sam Bradford, 12 of 16, three touchdowns. This pass-happy era we lived in, 12 of 16. But what the hell? St. Louis probably doesn't really shouldn't be winning games at this point. They need to get a draft pick anyway. Although I think they're going to get multiple draft picks after that trade for Robert Griffin. Washington-Dallas going on as we speak. 14-3 last time I saw Dallas winning. Enough with the Redskins shit. Let's put this to bed. Forget it. Change your name, Washington. Evidently, the California DMV had banned the Redskin name from vanity license plates about 10 years ago. Yeah, there was a Redskin by the name of Dale Atkinson who had a license plate that said one Redskin. California, the progressive state that it is, made him change it. Forget it. Just change the name. I know a couple weeks ago I was saying, oh, who cares, but just I'm done with it. Speaking of which, how about Rick Riley from ESPN? Who, idiot that I am, I ended up quoting him. I thought his article was, you know, intriguing to say the least. But in that article, he quoted his father-in-law, who was some kind of Native American, I guess. And his father-in-law came out this week and said, no, I didn't say that at all. He completely twisted and took my quotes out of context and fabricated what I said. That's absurd. Rick Riley should be fired. He kind of laughed it off. Oh, I guess the next steak dinner we have is going to be an awkward situation. The guy made the shit up. He's on ESPN. The guy's probably getting paid $3 million a year. He's ESPN's poster boy. Him and freaking Clown Shoe Simmons. Fire him. You can't just make shit up. Especially your father-in-law. The hell? But forget it. I played for a college team that our nickname was the Chieftains. We were a fairly liberal school, I guess. The Stonehill Chieftains. But about 7 or 8 years ago, they changed the name. If Chieftains is going to be offensive, I guess Redskins is offensive. I've changed my tune. Just change the damn name. What if they just call them the Skins, the Washington Skins? Or the Redhawks, whatever. Forget it. No need to do it anymore. It's over with. What other games I got? I feel like I'm missing something. Nah, it couldn't be anything that important. Let's get back to the Pats because that's what I'd like to talk about. What is Gronkowski coming back? This has turned into a disaster. They say he's dominating their practice, yet he doesn't play. Dr. James Andrews, who apparently is the only doctor who knows anything about anything in the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball, because the guy is everywhere. James Andrews said he shouldn't play. There's no other doctors out there. James Andrews is in his 70s. There's no other doctors out there that have any opinions on anything. I don't know, though. The Patriots keep winning without Gronkowski. Get him back when he's healthy. Let him roll. So I guess I got no problem with it. A couple other things I wanted to touch upon that I missed out on last week. You know, the NFL doesn't even have an open blood policy. I didn't even know this. I just assumed they did because everybody else has. If a guy's bleeding profusely or bleeding at all, he doesn't have to come out of the game. High school you do. NBA you do. Every other sport you have to come out of the game. But it caught my attention when J.J. Watt busted open his face last week. Doesn't have to come out of the game. Yet they preach about player safety all the time in the NFL. But shit, this guy could be spreading all types of shit like the MRSA that Tampa Bay can't get rid of. Just let the guy go. Huh. Player safety. No mouthpieces. Don't care about people bleeding all over each other. Great. Another great one. You know, if you do a backflip as a celebration in the end zone, if you land it on your feet, it's not a penalty. But if you screw up the backflip and you fall down, it's a penalty. What the frick kind of logic is that? Oh, you know, as long as you land it, it's cool. But if you fuck it up, we're going to throw a penalty. We're going to throw a flag. Oh, yeah. Get this shit together, NFL. Let them dance. Who cares? Way worse things going on, like letting guys bleed all over each other, letting guys bleed from the brain. So a guy does a backflip. Shit's fun. They used to show NFL folly films, and all that stuff used to be fun. At least they got away from it. I don't get it. But if he lands it, it's cool. Terrell Suggs last week running his mouth too, saying that Roger Goodell, I'm surprised they didn't fine him for this. Because this is defiance. This is disrespect. Coming out last week and saying that Roger Goodell and the NFL were behind the power outage in last year's Super Bowl. He said Roger Goodell most definitely had a hand in it. He also says Roger Goodell and the NFL favor the Broncos because Goodell's buddies with Elway. How can you just come out and say stuff like that? I agree with it, but you think the NFL would be a little bit pissed off about that. I mean, that's a little bit, extreme. What, Goodell sitting there with his hand on this power switch and just knocked the lights off when your team's winning? Wish things were that simple. But he did say an interesting point. He said Roger Goodell shouldn't be making $10 million a year. It's true, he shouldn't. But he actually made $29.5 million in 2012. Son of a senator, Roger Goodell. He ain't no fortunate son. And they always like to make a big deal. Oh, and Roger Goodell, when he was graduating from Cornell, he wrote a letter to all the teams to see if he could work for him. Oh, wow. Like a team see a senator's kid knocking down their door like they're not going to let him come work for him. It ain't me, Roger. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate son. So they came out with that pamphlet in 2007, the NFL, passing out to the players. This is another thing I saw in the League of Denial. There is no concussion problem. 2007 came out and said that Goodell himself had that sent out throughout the league. Ah, don't worry about it, fellas. Go get them. No concussion problems here. What else do I got before I leave you? I know I'm leaving something out. Oh, Alden Smith. Alden Smith in rehab now is facing 3 criminal felon charges for possession of an assault weapon here in California. His boy Delaney Walker, Pomona Zone, who I will have on this program. No bullshit. Got off scot-free because he was just shooting off his handguns to scare off the gangs that were at the parties. That's cool, I get it. But Alden Smith is facing 3 felony counts of possession of assault weapon at that party that I talked about where they were charging $10 a head to get in and $5 per drink. The guys who both make probably combined $10 million a year were charging everybody $5 a head of a drink. And $10 to get in. And then when the gangsters show up, they started popping off gats. Alden Smith, that might be it. He might be done. Coming out of rehab, facing these felony possession charges, that's it. Got a feel for the guy a little bit, shit. Not getting into that, politics of the guns too much, but what the hell? Legal in a lot of other states. And finally, I got one more trip bag question that I need to get in before we leave. Last question. Not really a question, a statement. Should have got back into it at the college game. At Fendi, hot dog bun. Just says Mizzou comment. I talked about Mizzou a little bit earlier, but losing the quarterback for the rest of the year, which they think might be the case, that ain't going to help anybody. I don't think Mizzou is... I don't know. I think they might have peaked at 14. I think if they still got to play Alabama without the starting quarterback, I think they're in trouble. I don't think they're going to be able to make anything. What else do I got? That's it. That's pretty much it for the week. Now I got to go back and watch the Red Sox. And the only way I can... Actually, yesterday I had to watch that whole damn game. Baseball has become intolerable. You watch one bat for 7 minutes. Games take 4.5 hours. I'm such a pussy. I mean, I watch these games at 8:30 and I'm practically falling asleep. My brethren at home, my family, my father and my all my friends and family watching these games at 12:30. Watch the Red Sox come up with one hit. I don't know if they're winning today, but I'm going to go home and watch baseball, and the best way to watch it and fast forward. Oh, last thing. UMass Amherst. UMass getting their first Division I win this week. Here, here. Versus Miami of Ohio. It's the first game they've won all as a Division I program. So good for them. All right, that's it. I'm wrapping it up. I'm going to go home and watch this damn game. Follow us at Hard Yards LA on Twitter. You can almost always email us at hardyardsla@gmail.com. I'm the coach. I'll be back next week with Bells On. That's it.